Do you know Wendy's changed their fries?
I saw that. They tasted very similar, though. They just kind of have more skin on them.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the ones I got tonight were burnt.
Well, I don't think that was, part of the new fry procedure. They probably just messed
Oh,
up.
I understand that. It's just my damn luck.
They have sea salt now, which, everyone always makes a big deal about sea salt. Isn't it pretty much tastes like salt.
But it's from the sea.
Where's other salt from?
Not the sea.
I bet it was from the sea at some point. Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for November 27th, 2010. This is Mike Minotti, and I'm joined by my brother, Ajga.
Yo.
Always such an enthusiastic yo from you.
It's Black Friday, and I worked like a 10-hour shift at Best
oh,
Buy.
That's right. I didn't ask you about that. How'd that go? Tell me.
Oh, my God. I was lucky, because I worked like the closing shift, so I wasn't there for like the doorbuster sales and the fist fight that apparently broke out in the computer department today.
Awesome.
Yeah. So mine was basically people, let me rephrase that, idiots who come in asking if the doorbuster netbook for $150 that we had was still available at like 6 o'clock at night, and I had to explain to them that no, it was not.
You had to tell them what a doorbuster meant.
Yeah, and just
You really call it doorbuster?
That's what they're called.
That's a very poor naming choice.
Yeah,
basically
I know.
Saying like you're like encouraging this whole Black Friday like trampling thing.
Well, at least what Best Buy does that's smart is because you have the line outside. So what they do before the store opens is they go down the line, they ask you what you're here for, and then you get the tickets for your stuff, and then you just go and claim it. Like, there's not even
out there.
You're guaranteed to get it, so there is no point to, like, running inside like a madman. You're going to get your stuff.
Sense.
Yeah. It's not Walmart, please.
Yeah, I refuse to ever take part in any Black Friday activities. I don't do any of it. I don't line up or nothing. It just seems like this whole thing is a poor choice. I'm surprised, like, none of, like, the retailers are like, well, we're going to have our Black Friday on Saturday then, so screw you guys.
Here's the thing. They don't make money.
Right, I mean,
sell this stuff too cheap. It's just to get rid of, like, inventory.
Right, and just, I don't know, it's all dumb. All right, moving on. This has really nothing to do about video games. So what's our show today? We're going to start with the news. You have a quiz for me, correct?
You're going to hate this.
Oh, my God. Why? What's it about?
The theme of this week's quiz is the games I played this week.
Did I play any of them?
Some of them.
All right. Well, maybe I have a shot then. I hope they're all about Poker Night at the Inventory, because that's been mostly what I'm playing.
That's the one that's not in here.
God damn it. All right, after that we have Let's Go Topical, followed by our week in gaming, and then the week's releases. Okay,
yep.
I'm good. Let's get the ball rolling.
I hope none of you play Halo Wars, because some stuff's getting cut from it.
Because first off, you're playing Halo Wars.
Apparently, the community's quite upset because they're basically shutting down like HaloWars.com, which you know how like Halos have always had like a lot of stat tracking on the Bungie.net website.
Right.
This was like the Halo Wars equivalent, and they're just getting rid of it along with the forums and everybody's accounts. And
why
it's just
are they
being
doing
deleted.
That exactly?
They want to unify everything under Halo Waypoint, but they're not like migrating it. They're just deleting everything and telling everybody go make Halo Waypoint. .com accounts. It's kind of dumb.
Are like those things gonna be on Halo Waypoint now? Like they just have to start over.
That stuff's gone. I mean, multiplayer in the game's not gone, but like the online leaderboards and online stat tracking is all gone.
Why?
This just is.
I guess there's not a whole lot of people playing Halo.
Probably not. I imagine this is a very vocal minority community kind of thing, but it still sucks.
Well, yeah, I mean, sucks for you guys. Should play more PC games. You won't have this problem.
We have the first details in the Fallout New Vegas DLC entitled Dead Money that is coming in December for the Xbox 360 to later come for the PC and PS3. Not a ton of details. Basically, you're going after the lost treasure of the Sierra Madre Casino.
That's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
I like that idea.
And, I mean, apparently, I guess this is a minor spoiler, but Fallout New Vegas does end. So you have to, like, have a save file before the ending that you will load, and then this is how you'll play the DLC. Much like Fallout 3 was before the the whatchamacallit Brotherhood of Steel DLC came out.
That's kind of weird to me, because wasn't there this big deal about how, like, they regretted how they ended Fallout 3?
I don't think they said they regret it. It's tricky, because you want to tell a story, you want it to end, but then you do, you know, it is an open-world game. Here's the problem. It's fine to do it one way or the other, but to have the DLC support then be, well, just get a save file from before you beat it, like, I don't see why I can't, like, just import that character in, like, a standalone thing. I don't know. I feel like there's a better solution.
I just don't like DLC in these games. Even though I like this idea and this concept, I will never play it.
Right. See, and I really liked all the Fallout 3 DLC, so I'll probably be all over
sure,
this.
Sure, whatever. If I play the game again sometime, like, I'll get, like, all like, the Game of Year edition, and then I can play through it then.
Yeah.
And actually level up from it.
Next. Okay. We have Pokemon Black and White starters for English.
They mean their names.
Yeah. Yes.
Not as good as the made-up names.
No, the Leaf one is Snivy.
I like Smug Leaf.
The Fire guy is Tepig.
I liked Pignition.
And the Water dude is Oshawott. Or Oshawott.
Okay, that might be better than Sad Whittle Water.
Yeah. But yeah, the other two were better, I thought. The ones we made up. Pignition was great.
Smug Leaf. Not we made up. We didn't make them up.
The Groil we...
Okay.
The gaming community. Yeah, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to inadvertently take credit for
it. Like, I don't think we deserve the credit for that one. I wish we did.
Hmm.
Next.
Tim Schafer and Double Fine have revealed their next game entitled Stacking. It looks awesome. Have you seen this?
No.
You know those little Russian dolls with a name I can't pronounce where, like, one fits inside another, inside another, inside another?
Yeah.
Okay, so you play as the smallest one of those. And okay. It's an adventure game. And the way you solve puzzles is then you hop into a slightly larger doll to get their properties, and that's how you go about solving your puzzles.
Sounds innovative.
Like, let's say you need to get past a guard. You could just try to sneak around him, or you could, like, hop into an attractive female little doll thing and then charm him and get by him. It's like, that's the example they showed.
Okay.
And they're going for, like, multiple solutions to all the puzzles.
Well, sounds good in theory.
It's set in, like, a 1930s noir kind of thing, so... I'm all for it.
Alrighty. No objections.
Mark Wahlberg has confirmed that he will play Nathan Drake.
That makes no sense.
At all.
That makes no sense. How can you get the same actor to play Max Payne and Nathan Drake?
And here's the thing,
it's too. It's like he's a great actor. He's like, oh, well, but he's an actor. He can just do whatever. It's Mark Wahlberg.
And here's the thing. Wahlberg did a video game movie, and in that case, everyone said, yeah, that's actually not a bad casting choice, and that movie bombed.
Right.
Like, what do they expect? Especially when the fans, the developers, and just about everybody else under the sun basically said if it's not going to be Nolan North, it should be Nathan Fillion playing this character.
Well, I mean,
what it is the director, whatever that douchebag's name is.
Well, who cares?
The guy who did Three Kings, like, nobody likes. I guess he and Wahlberg are friends.
Oh, okay.
So, like, that's the cause of this.
Awesome.
The movie's going to be awful, because, first of all, that guy, again, I probably should look up his name real quick. But, like, apparently nobody in Hollywood likes him. Like, he's just an asshole.
He always gets into fights with people.
Yeah, so it's like, I don't, like, understand how a guy like that still gets work, but that's beyond the point. But, like, I don't know, you look at his pedigree, the kind of movies he makes, and then you look at the kind of stuff Wahlberg does, none of this screams Uncharted
to me.
Well,
the screenwriter doesn't have a pretty good pedigree, I think. I think I looked him up one time. It's not going to be good. We all know this.
I know.
Well, isn't Robert De Niro playing his dad?
Maybe. And Joe Pesci playing his uncle. I know.
What do you mean his uncle? Why can't one of them play Solly?
Well, see, this is what I don't understand. I mean, I guess it's still a thing to do with the immaturity of the gaming industry. I don't mean, like, immature like they act like children. I mean, it's a young industry. If a book gets adapted to a movie, like, you know, J.K. Rowling has complete control over the Harry Potter movies, what goes in, what happens.
Well,
the
J.K.
Tolkien
Rowling
estate
does,
gets,
like,
everything said about the, you know, the Lord of the Rings movies, blah, blah, blah.
Okay,
like, why?
Wait a second. Now, J.K. Rowling, but, like, the person who wrote Diaries of a Wimpy Kid, I bet they didn't get that much feedback on how the movie was going to be.
I'm just saying, I don't understand how Naughty Dog gets no say in any of this.
I can understand that. I just don't understand. Well, I understand why this happens in the first place. I feel like Naughty Dog, if they had their way, they just wouldn't want a movie to be made.
Well, right.
But
I just don't
get to make money.
I just don't understand, like, with these casting the choices, who the audience they're going for is.
Probably not. I think that they assume people who like Uncharted will just be there no matter what. So I don't know, like, Mark Wahlberg, like, the kind of people, like, I think would normally see his movies, I don't know how much they're going to go for.
Yeah, they're not going to go for an Uncharted thing, and everyone who likes Uncharted is pissed off that it's basically not Nathan Fillion, well, so they're not going
to
go.
Don't just start doing, like, oh, I had to beat this guy.
Well, it didn't even have to be him, but Wahlberg.
Yeah, I know. Seriously. It's okay, look, the movie's going to be terrible. Big surprise, I guess. Yeah. And so if it doesn't get made, that's my only grace, is that if this is like another one of those movies that just doesn't happen.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that. My last story of note here. Apparently, if you are an OnLive founding member, which means you created your account before yesterday and bought and paid for two games, you'll get a micro console for free.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Apparently, just redeeming codes for two free games doesn't qualify you.
So you're not getting one?
No.
There must not have been very many people who did that then.
It was like a thank you to, like, their loyal customers who, like, kind of took the risk on them. It's a nice gesture, I guess.
I remember how online was supposed to be the future, and then it came out and no one gave a shit.
You know, I still maintain the problem with the service is it just doesn't have that many games on it.
But I thought it was the future. How come no one gives a shit? Did you tell me PSP Go is going to be the future, too? How come all these things they keep telling me are the future come out and people don't give a shit? Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what I thought. Next. I win.
Fine. I'm going to give you a quiz now.
All right. Was that? That's it? That's all the news?
Yeah, there wasn't really much else going on this week.
There's some rumor. Okay, whatever. I'm not going to go back and report news I think you missed. Okay. Mr. Newsy guy. What else? Give me the quiz.
Fine. Here we go. All right. What year did the original Need for Speed come out?
I want to say like 95.
1994.
That's pretty close.
What is the date of release, date and year, for the original World of Warcraft?
What, is this, are you going to give me all dates?
No.
Okay, give me the... What was this again?
What was the release date for the original World of Warcraft?
November 22nd, 2004.
23rd.
That's pretty good.
That is pretty good.
Actually, that I was that close. I deserve some credit that I was off by a day, because I didn't really know.
All right. What was significant about that date?
November 23rd, 2004. I don't know. Was
more
it
about
like
November 23rd, I guess.
November 23rd. Significant about it? I don't know. Is it the 10-year anniversary of Warcraft?
You're right.
Yay! Could guess me.
Yes. Okay. What is the name of the Mirror's Edge theme song?
Still Alive.
Yes.
Very good song, actually.
Yeah, just they probably should have given it a different name.
Right.
Considering there's already a really big video game song called Still Alive.
Well, in their defense, they probably recorded it before Portal came out. They didn't know. I imagine. Okay. I can't imagine. Like, Portal was out, and like everyone was doing a million memes about Still Alive, and they're like, let's make a song for our video game called Still Alive, and it'll be great. Next.
Okay. My next question. Oh, I have two answers I'll accept for.
Oh, wow. Doubles my odds.
In what year does Ezio's story begin in Assassin's Creed 2?
I feel really dumb if I get this wrong. I think it's like... Is it like 1396? Did you hear me?
What? Oh, was that your answer?
Yeah, sure. 1396.
Not even close.
Like, 1296?
Way wrong. You were going the wrong way.
Oh. 1596.
Too far.
1496.
Well, you're in the right century, at least.
I mean, I know it's like around the turn of the century. I just don't know which
the game,
one.
The game, well, if generally, I would say it begins in 1476. But if you want to be technical, since the game does start with Ezio's birth, it begins in 1459.
Oh, see, this is why. Oh, wow! I didn't realize so much time elapses during
that's
game.
Yeah, that's the thing. I've realized that they do a really poor job communicating how much time goes by between sequences in it.
They don't. I don't know. Maybe it's intentional because I guess around
he grows
the turn
a beard.
I'm sorry. I guess around the turn of the century because that's like where Brotherhood begins as single player.
Right.
So I was like, well, maybe Assassin's Creed 2 started 4 years before that. No. Wow.
Nope.
I mean, I guess that one guy does have all the time to become Pope and stuff.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, your bonus question.
Oh, that's it? Well, I just got one, right? Yeah.
How many songs are on the disc for Rock Band 3?
Rock Band 3? I gotta give a shit. I don't know, 43.
83.
There's about six of them I like. okay. Ready for Let's Go Topical?
Indeed.
First one. Gran Turismo 5 will not sell as well as its predecessors.
Nope. It's come out at, like, a crowded time of year. I don't even think a lot of people even know it's out right now. And I just feel like... I feel like such a big part of Gran Turismo's popularity, especially in the past, was... like, that was it. It was the only big car franchise of its kind out there. Now there are options. There are options that have been around for a while. It's not like there's, like, new franchise. Like you know, Forza's pretty well established. Shift got a pretty good debut. And you look at the performance of, like, I mean, granted, I know they're different kind of racing, but look at the numbers that Split Second and Blur put up earlier this year. They didn't light anything on fire. Well, I don't know. I just don't see it taking off in the same way the previous games ever did.
Well, I will say that I don't understand how this game could sell well, but I never understood how this series sold well anyway.
That's lots of things. See, that's what I don't understand. I mean, of all my friends who play games, I know one person who likes Gran Turismo.
My, what, Fixer?
Yeah.
The show, by the way, yeah, this, you know, the our own Fixer of the Exploding Barrel Podcast. Yes. But no, like, that's the thing, though.
He's the only one I know who actually likes it.
And he loves to point out to me, I think Gran Turismo 3 or one of them was the best-selling game on the PlayStation 2.
Yeah, and I just don't know who the hell else played it.
Right, like, that's the thing.
Were these people buying multiple copies?
Like, and, like, I won't deny the game's, like, quality, but I question its appeal. But I guess there is an appeal there. So, I don't know if that appeal is diminished or what, because, like I said, I never got how this series sold that well.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, the way I always felt about this series, and it seems, I mean, I haven't played it yet, but from reading the reviews of it, I appreciate the kind of technical mastery of this game and how
it sounds like this game has no soul, basically.
Exactly. It's very sterile. You know, I like where Forza lies, where, yeah, like, I have to kind of worry about the parts in my car and, you know, the racing's realistic. There's some physics at work, but I don't have to go in and adjust gear ratios.
See, that's always the thing. It's like, okay, Gran Turismo's for, like, that really hardcore car guy. But if that's who it's for, how can it possibly sell, like, super well?
That's like saying that, like, you know, the, what's the series now? There's that Jet Simulator series on PC with the girl's name in the front of it.
Jet? Oh, Danica Patrick? Like, Jet?
Yeah, like fighter jets.
Oh, no, I was supposed to say Danica Patrick. I don't know why.
The series I'm trying to think of.
It doesn't really matter.
Like, remember, like, Falcon 4 back in the day. Like, how many people actually played that? What? Or, like, Microsoft Flight Simulator.
Actually, it's interesting you bringing that up, because that was a very popular game.
I think it was popular. I think, like, it's one of those games people got, like, played once and realized they had no idea what the hell they were doing and
never
touched
it
again.
Like, the whole thing's confusing. I have no idea what... I have never had any idea what to make of this franchise.
Although, did you see this video that's been making the round on YouTube? This is funny to me. This is what tells me that this is supposed to be more of a true simulation and not a video game. There is in the game, it's like an old ass Volkswagen
Beetle. I heard
Beetle,
about this.
And they're trying to race it on this one track that has a lot of hills. So you're watching this video, and these Beetles, and he has all the AI driving the same car. They're all in these old shitty Beetles. And he's, like, chugging to get up these hills. It's hilarious. Then finally, he gets to a hill that he literally cannot drive up, nor can any of the AI. So it's just all these cars just stuck on a hill. Like, that is in your video game.
Well, that's just, you know, if they can't make it, they can't make it, I guess.
Yeah.
Like I said, I no idea what to make of that franchise. Next.
It's not for me. I guess I'm okay with that. I just, like I said, I just want to understand it.
I just
don't.
Yeah. Next. Making Assassin's Creed a yearly franchise is a mistake.
I don't think Brotherhood's going to do very well. Certainly not to the way the numbers Assassin's Creed 2 did. I think it'll do okay for itself, but it's not going to match what the previous two games did.
They already said there's going to be a big Assassin's Creed game released next year also. Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, part of it is it's harder to market it when it doesn't have that number attached to it. And I think it's kind of their own fault. I feel like when this game was first debuted, the emphasis was put so much on multiplayer that I think people think that's all it is.
I didn't even know it had a substantial single-player game as it
does. And apparently it's really good.
Right.
I think they just need to be careful. Like, I'm okay with it because, like, I understand Assassin's Creed as a whole is really about Desmond and the whole Templar versus Assassins thing and everything with Abstergo. I get that's really what it's about, but I really liked Ezio and his story, so I'm glad there's more of that. I almost don't know if a full box $60 release is the way to do it.
So what? Oh no, wait. If you're trying to somehow turn this into a criticism of Brotherhood,
No. See, that's the thing. I'm not. See, this is the problem. It's not like I could say like they phoned this in. I mean, I think Brotherhood's
agree with you that Brotherhood's not going to sell well. By the way, I think Brotherhood's going to do just fine.
I think it'll do fine. It's not going to be big like in the way the Assassin's Creed 1 and 2 were.
I mean, it can be. I think though that if we keep doing this yearly, whatever, like the next one will be like some different time, you know, in the history. Then like the next year you just do part two of that basically, and that's how they keep going. Mm-hmm. Eventually, you know, you're gonna hurt your own sales. Cannibalize yourself.
I think history has shown that any franchise that moves into this yearly thing kills itself.
Except for Call of Duty, so far.
Yeah.
They've been going strong for a while now. But Call of Duty can get away with that because of the, you know, it runs on the strength of its multiplayer, basically, and kind of things like that. I think that's why they probably try so, like, that's why all these series, you know, we're always like, well, why does Bioshock have multiplayer? Why does Assassin's Creed have multiplayer? Because if you can get that to work, your franchise is set for life.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you'll be able to sell map packs and this and that and yearly installments and all sorts of crazy shit.
Right.
So, but still, as much as I like Brotherhood, I don't know what's so bad about the whole waiting at least 2 years for these kind of games.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next. The new Golden Sun is one too many epic RPGs for the DS this year.
How many have there been? I have to admit, I haven't really paid attention.
Well, let's
to
just
it.
Say that, you know, we're Dragon Quest IX, big deal RPG release for the DS, mm-hmm. and Final Fantasy IV, Warriors of Light.
Mm-hmm.
Both, and now you have this, and it kind of, you know, let's say all those games look at least kind of vaguely similar. Would you not agree?
Yeah.
So?
No, it's three too many.
I mean, maybe not necessarily, but you know what I'm saying? But I mean, if you're... If you had played Dragon Quest and played Final Fantasy, like, are you planning to pick up this game? I know you liked the original Golden Sun.
I did. I mean, I don't know.
What are
like
your thoughts on this? I haven't heard you say a peep about this new one, really.
I kind of keep forgetting it exists.
Okay, exactly.
Like, it's just, like I said, this time of year there's so much stuff coming out that, I couldn't even think about this game in amidst, like, everything else I want to play right now. Yeah, I have to admit, too, I have not used my DS in a very long time.
What was the last thing you played on it?
Oh, God. I'm trying to think because I knew you were going to ask me that.
I
don't even know.
For me, though, like, I'm like 30 hours into Dragon Quest IX, and I haven't beaten it yet. So I don't know why I would possibly get another RPG this year. But that game being as big as it was. At least another RPG on my DS.
I think, honestly... Well, it depends on the kind of game. Right? For the kind of person who just likes to buy one or two games, then RPGs on DS are great because you could buy that one game and just play it for a bit on the bus or on your commuter or just sitting at home, whatever. But then, like, there's the other kind of portable gamer, which is kind of the kind of gamer who's been migrating a bit more towards iPhone gaming, I think, who wants, like, the shorter games where they could get one game for like $20, play it for a while, move on to the next one, the next one, the next one. The person who's going to go from Layton to Puzzle Quest to, God, I'm even trying to think of something else. But you know what I mean? It's like it's like two different types of DS gamers are out there.
So what you're basically telling me is no, it's not too many.
I don't
under
think
the right
so.
Circumstances.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. Next, Game Informer recently named GLaDOS as the best gaming character of the last decade. Do you agree? Number 2 was John Marston. Number 3 was Nathan Drake.
Here's my only issue with GLaDOS. As a character, I mean, she was well written, had a lot of funny things to say, but it's not like she was a character who developed.
Right, like, I feel like that's almost giving, as great as it is that she was hilarious, I don't know if that alone makes her the best gaming character of the last
decade. That would be like having at the Academy Awards a stand-up comedian win Best Actor for his stand-up routine.
It would be like if Adam Sandler won the Academy Award for Best Actor the year he did Billy Madison.
Even Billy Madison at least developed.
Okay, then it'd be like Rodney Dangerfield winning for Caddyshack.
Something, yeah, something like that. Where it's basically just someone up there spouting really good one-liners. I mean, really good one-liners. But as far as, if you want to say character, I think Nathan Drake or John Marston are much better choices.
Right, and like I like that. I like those for sure, and I probably would put GLaDOS like number three because you know it was a really well written character, one of the best written ever, and it was incredibly memorable. And it's you know people are making references to GLaDOS all the time now, so obviously that's a big character. But you know. If you're talking about development, then no one probably beats John Marston, I guess. Because as much as we love Drake, he doesn't really, you know, he develops about as much as Indiana Jones does. Indiana Jones never really changes as the kind of person he is or anything like that. There's sort of a lot of weird factors in that. Like, GLaDOS isn't even a player character. He's just, as opposed to Drake and Marston. I mean, for my own biases, I would probably still pick Nathan Drake anyways. That'd probably be my favorite character the last decade. How about you?
The last decade. It's either going to be Alex Vance,
Marston. Like you like Alex Vance way too much.
I do like Alice. I know. I understand it. Am I allowed to nominate my own Shepard character?
No. I mean, no Shepard. Well, I mean, Shepard was on the list, not like... Which is kind of weird, isn't it?
That's the thing. I mean, it's so different. I mean, the character is as good as you make it, I guess. You know?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, like, for instance, John Marston, for that character to work, you have to play the game good. I always say this, if you played Red Dead Redemption as a bad character, you're playing it wrong. Makes no sense. So, wait, who'd you say then? Alex Vance or who?
Alex Vance, Marston, or...
You even beat Red Dead Redemption yet.
Yeah, I know, but I really like him.
Well, like, maybe you should see his story.
That's what I'm going to do this week. AJ next week.
Yeah, I bet. Okay, so... Wait, what about... How come you don't have Drake up there? What's your issue?
He's up there, too. I don't know.
He's not number one, though.
No.
No?
Like you said, he doesn't have a lot of change. He's just really good.
Well, it's not like Mario has ever developed, but he still can't knock him.
I wouldn't put Mario on my top characters list.
What?
As far as, like, you know... developed characters. Oh, see, I'm coming at it from a more literary, theatrical point of view.
Now, here's something interesting. HK-47's on that list. He's kind of similar to GLaDOS in a way. He doesn't develop, but he's just kind of funny. Okay, anyways, I guess we should move on then.
Right.
Next. There will be another Fable.
There will, but I don't think it's going to be in the same vein as all the other Fable games.
Like, it's not going to be, like, an action RPG anymore?
No, I don't think Molyneux wants to make an action RPG. I don't think he's wanted to make one since the original Fable, but he keeps making these Fable games for some reason.
I think he wants to make The Sims.
I don't understand why he doesn't go back to Black and White, especially now with Kinect. It seems like the two are made for each other.
Whatever.
Black and White was you controlling a giant floating hand.
Sure. Well, that's true.
But, yeah, I mean... Like I've said this before about the Fable franchise in general. He wants to make a game played by everybody. That seems to be his greatest goal in life. And an action RPG, no matter what you do to it, is never going to be that game. Never. Now, Fable has a cool world. There's a lot of stuff you could explore in it. People like Albion. So I feel like he can do other things in that world under the Fable name, so it has the recognition, it has the world people like, but he can do something else with it.
Right. Do we know how much Fable sold in October?
No, we don't get the NPD numbers anymore.
We got the top 10 though. It was number 4. It was behind NBA 2K11, Fallout, Medal of Honor. So, I guess
those are all multi-platform releases cuz it combines the numbers now.
Oh, okay. Well then.
Yeah. Maybe Fable. So, you know, it did okay.
They're good. They're good.
And I think a lot of it was riding on the goodwill from Fable 2. Like, people like that, they got this one. I wonder what people ultimately thought of the game. Because so much was changed, you know? Like, like I said, I mean, personally, I almost have no interest in that game right now. Based on everything I've heard and read about it, it seems like it just does so much shit that I know would piss me off that I don't even think I want to bother.
See, like, reading stuff like that, I'm like, at first that was my reaction, but now I'm just kind of interested to see what it's even like.
Sure I'll check it out eventually, but it's no longer a priority.
Right, it definitely doesn't sound like a game it doesn't sound like something I think I'm going to like too much. All right, next one. Oh, I guess our last one then. Yeah. Okay, games rumored to be announced at the VGAs include Uncharted 3, Mass Effect 3, Resident Evil 6. I know Elder Scrolls 5 is being rumored. I don't know if that's rumored to be announced at the VGAs. But anyways, which of those are you looking the most forward to?
Mass Effect and Oblivion, probably, or Elder Scrolls, rather.
Elder Scrolls. They're saying the next Elder Scrolls is going to be a direct sequel to
Oblivion. That's what I want to see.
Do the games usually like take place in separate worlds?
Same world, but just separated by different continents and years.
So would this one not be?
This would take place on Tamriel shortly after the events of Oblivion. So you'd have tell you why these are the two I'm excited for. The new Elder Scrolls I'm excited for because I think this is going to be finally the first time that Bethesda will have new tech.
And for a while, yeah, first time
since. So we're going to see, hopefully, a more modern engine with the game.
Right.
I wouldn't even be surprised. I'd be not surprised if it was using the id Tech 5 that's powering Rage now that they own id. I feel like that would actually be a good engine the way it's developed as kind of like a big outdoor environment engine to power the next Elder Scrolls, which should be cool. As far as Mass Effect goes, I just really want to see, like, because the jump from 1 to 2 is so great, I'm curious to see if there's going to be a jump like that again to 3.
Or I almost kind of don't want there to
2.
Be.
I know, I feel like 2 is so good now. But then on the same hand, like, I thought 1 was great.
Now, they're going to end it at 3, right?
Yeah. It is a trilogy.
But they better not pull some bullshit like, oh, leave it open for a sequel kind of thing.
No, I don't think they have to, because, again, you'll finish Shepard's story, but you'll still have that world.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm hoping for. I hope they realize that and don't feel like, well, we got to leave it open to have Shepard come back and do more things. No.
I mean, Uncharted 3 I'm excited for, but as awesome as it will doubtless be, you kind of know what you're going to get.
Yeah, fair enough.
You know, Resident Evil, my disdain for that series is well known.
You have disdain? No, wait. No, it's not. You have disdain for that series?
Ever since. 5 was really soured me on the whole thing.
Well, 5 was kind of lame. I will not lie. As much fun as 5 was, kind of lame. Yeah. But Resident Evil 4, come on.
No, I mean, Resident Evil 4 is still great, but I mean, since Resident Evil 4, we got Resident Evil 5 and a bunch of light gun games. It's hard for me personally to get excited about Resident Evil anymore.
Okay.
Now, maybe they'll come out with something that'll blow me away, and that'd be great. But as it just goes, that's kind of low on my radar right now.
Fair enough.
And then did you say another game?
No, that was it, actually.
Okay.
I'm for Uncharted 3 for obvious reasons.
Right.
All right, that's that, so let's do a week in gaming.
All right, what do you want to talk about first?
Well, I played Poker Night at the inventory the most.
That game's great.
Well, sure it's great, because, I mean, it's kind of... It'd be hard to review that game, because, I mean, it's poker. Like, how do you review poker?
you're basically paying $5 for some really good writing.
Right. And, I mean, I like playing poker, and it's hard to get a game set up, so it's kind of nice to, like, you know, play it like this and kind of have some stakes in it, like unlocking decks or getting those Team Fortress weapons. And, like, all the dialogue is fun between the characters. I really like the voice actor they got for Tycho.
Yeah, I think he's great.
Yeah.
See, here's what I like about that game, because I think I've kind of made it well known on the show that I really like games where I get to inherit a role or play even myself. That's why I really like Myst and things like that. So I like how in this game, it's like you are you sitting down at the table with these characters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like how they talk to you and each other. I like how when it comes down to heads up, you like sit directly across from who you're playing and kind of actually play heads up poker with them. I just kind of like that immersion factor it has going for it.
Who at the table is your favorite?
Tyco.
Who's your least favorite?
I don't really have a least favorite.
Oh, come
favorite.
On.
I guess Strong Bad.
What? No way.
I mean...
I love Strong Bad.
I still like him.
He's so... I still just have a really hard time connecting with Telltale's version of Max.
I understand that.
I really don't. I don't.
I know you do. I don't.
I don't like his voice acting. I don't find his lines particularly funny. I don't know. It's just... I think I just liked the LucasArts Max so much.
Right.
Facilities be damned. I need a bathroom.
Yeah, I mean... The writing in this game is hilarious, and I mean, I think also we've made it, both of us on this show, well known our love of crossovers of any sort.
I was a little disappointed that I was hearing a lot of the lines repeat it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know it's going to happen.
I mean, yeah, I know, but I feel like I heard everything pretty quickly. But even still, like every once in a while something comes up I haven't heard before. I'm like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, for something to get for $5, it's certainly worth
sure,
it.
Sure, I mean, you know, it's like, if you like poker, like I said... It's a weird game to, like, review. Because the gameplay is poker. How do you review that?
Right. It is a good game of poker, I do have to say.
What do you mean? Well, there's poker. Yeah, I guess. I mean, you know,
some
poker
games have actually really bad interfaces. This one's actually, enough. You know, pretty good.
Maybe it's just my head, but sometimes I feel like the game is a little broken. Like, I feel like I'm winning hands or other people winning hands and it doesn't get it right. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. I have noticed a couple times, like, Winslow will say, like, Mex wins the hand. But, like, I won. And, the game goes like I won. Just had the wrong voice cue come up.
Okay, then.
Also, one thing that's also neat, I like how, I mean, the characters start conversing with each other. And you can just sit there and watch it. But if you keep playing, they'll play and talk.
Yeah.
It's a little thing, but it's cool.
Although, a lot of the times, like, if something happens, they'll stop and you don't get to hear the rest of the conversation.
Oh, what I've noticed will happen, like, if someone wins a hand.
Sometimes.
They'll do their victory thing. They'll say, like, anyway, what were you saying?
Sometimes they'll do that, sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
Besides that, I mean, the new WoW. The Cataclysm patch came out for WoW.
It's freaking sweet.
Right. I mean, you know what was my favorite thing was, you know how in the opening cinematic for Cataclysm is Deathwing's, you know, coming out and basically, you know,
effing everything up.
Right. And he does that thing where he lands on the entrance of Stormwind, he screams, and the one statue falls down. So when I went into the game, I kind of went to where the statue was, and I jumped into, like, the lake right by it to see if I can find it, and I couldn't find it first. Like, oh, it would have been cool if it was there. Then I swam to the shore, and there's, like, all these NPC, like, characters that, like, were, like, getting, like, they had the statue and were putting it on, like,
they're rolling
stuff.
It on logs,
right,
up
they're rolling
the
it up to eventually fix it. Kind of a cool touch.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why, I always envisioned in my head that there would be, like, some kind of world event where, like, the shattering would happen, but, like, I guess what they just do is the CG cutscene is the event, and now there's the game.
Right.
Which is fine.
I mean, I guess you can't actually... You can't actually
transition it real time.
Right.
Yeah. Would have been cool, but yeah, I understand. But, see, this is exciting to me because since I never got to Northrend, I've never really got a lot of interaction with the phasing system in the game.
Right.
And just some of the more advanced stuff they've been doing. So, like, I did a quest with the rogue I've been playing where I was in, what's the area called? The port that the Alliance uses in Kalimdor. That's
you
by
forgot
the
this last time we brought it up, and
I know.
We couldn't think of an answer.
I was there. Then I was in the little goblin town that's there called Mudsprocket, and I was in there. That's where I left off, and I saw a Night Elf and Torn that were not there before. So I talked to them, and they were talking about how they were coming to find people to help with the rescue efforts in the now flooded Thousand Needles. I'm like, oh fuck yes. Like, I love Thousand Needles, and the fact that it's flooded is crazy to me, and I want to go check this out. So they wanted me to go to New Ashara to help with the relief efforts. I'm like, okay. They're like, go outside, talk to this guy, he'll get you on a griffin, we'll take you over. So as I'm flying over the, like, flooded Thousand Needles, I'm, like, checking all out, and I'm coming up to the shore by Ashara, and I see, like, this battle going on below me. I'm like, what the heck is this? And it literally... The thing lands, I see the NPC I'm supposed to talk to who's fighting three Grim Totem, and there's just, like, this big fight going on. So I, like, fight off the Grim Totem she's fighting, talk to her. She's like, you need to fight your way through this, you know, these Grim Totem and get to the person at the dock and, you know, kill seven on your way because it's a quest.
Right.
So, like, you know, I go slogging through this place. It feels really dynamic. I get to the dock. She's like, hurry up, get on this boat. And they put me on a boat. to what used to be the racetrack in the desert, which is now the Speed Barge, which is a hastily constructed ship built by the goblins and gnomes from the speed track, who all really hate each other. So you're on there now, you do some quests, and then you get the one quest where pirates who have been shooting cannons at the speed barge have set it on fire. I'm being told I need to go out into a boat, fire like water jets to put out the fires, and then shoot down some pirate ships. So when I step outside, you know, the phasing kicked in. Now the entire boat's on fire, everyone's running around panicking, and this really cool pirate music kicked in. And it was unlike anything I'd ever done in the game. I just thought it was so good. Like, I couldn't believe it. It was awesome.
Man, you would have really liked the one raid boss in Ice Crown Citadel where you were just on one of the flying ships, and you got attacked by the Horde flying ship, or Alliance, vice versa. Mm-hmm. Some of the raid members had to get into cannons to fight them. The other ones had to strap rockets on their back and jump onto the enemy ship, and they had epic music.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was. That was awesome. Anywho.
The other thing I did do since the patch came out, because a buddy of mine was over that night and we were playing it, and we both made troll characters to run through the new troll starting area. And it was really cool. I really liked the stuff they were doing in it. What I like that they're focusing on now is they want each zone to last you 5 levels. So you're moving through more areas and seeing more variety of content. Because, like, they recognize that having you be in the Barrens for 20 levels as a Horde character was a huge mistake.
Right.
Because it just got boring. So, like, I really feel like I'm doing a larger variety of things, even though the general quests are still, for the most part, you know, fetch quests, FedEx quests, and, you know, kill items quests. But, like, just because I'm moving around so much, it all feels a lot more dynamic.
Very nice.
Really like the new Orgrimmar. It's different, but it's nice.
I'm just excited for the actual expansion to come out so I can roll my new characters and all that stuff and get
the 85. It's awesome. Like, I am so, like, back in the WoW right now. It's great.
This is a nice transition, but Chris got into the DC Universe beta.
Yeah.
And he installed it on my computer so I could kind of try it. And it was like, the character creation reminded me a lot of, like, you know, City of Heroes. Even you kind of pick out all your stuff, and you know, you do the thing, you make your hero. And for some reason, that's never felt better to me than it did in City of Heroes. By the way, I don't know why.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm just jaded now. Like, it probably is better, but it's hard to tell. But the game, it's really weird because it's like designed like a sort of not button masher, but I mean, like, you, like, my character had dual pistols. And right-click shot my gun. And, like, you know, I could click as many times and shoot very fast. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's what it was like. Like, you just shot people. It wasn't, like, cast a spell and here's the cooldown. You had abilities and they would have cooldowns. But it was really, for the most part, like, shoot, you know, run, dodge, that kind of thing. Much faster paced than a normal MMO, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
The only problem with that was I didn't understand, at least, like, early on, it didn't convey what the strategy to the game was at all. And it kind of is this other thing, too, that I really hate when MMOs do now, where, like, they do, like, the intro thing, and it's kind of a, you know, it's like a separate encounter. What is the word? Instance. It's an instance thing, and you do that, and, like, it's like it's the tutorial, basically. And then they just kind of dump you into this hub, all of a sudden they say, go at it, you know?
Right.
Like, you know, like, WoW never does that straight-on tutorial thing, which I always kind of find lame. WoW's always been very good about how you're basically playing Warcraft as soon as you start playing it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Chris seemed impressed by DC Universe Online. I wasn't feeling it very much, though. I will say that the CG intro before the game was really neat.
The one where Lex Luthor kills Superman?
Yeah.
Saw that.
It's fun stuff.
In the future.
Ooh.
It is cool that it is still Mark Hamill Joker in that game.
Oh, right. But, yeah, I don't know. Not feeling it. Okay. But, I mean, you know what? Here's the thing. And we said this before, but to really learn an MMO takes years.
Yeah.
So now that I've learned WoW, I don't know why I would really start a different one.
Mm-hmm. Well, keep in mind, too, that this game is also coming out for PS3, which I think explains a lot more of its action-oriented roots.
I wonder how that will work. Although, yeah. Apparently, like, that is actually happening.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of the time, these console versions get announced and nothing ever happens with that, but, like, that's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Man, making your character on the PS3 must take forever. I don't know why. Okay. What else did you play?
Let's see. I just got, after I got off work today, we still had some copies of Need for Speed Hot Pursuit left with the Black Friday price on it.
What was the Black Friday price?
$35.
Ooh, very nice.
You know, for a new game like that, I was like, yeah, sure, why not? So I went ahead and got that. Now, here's the thing. I knew, like, I got home a little bit before you from work tonight, so I was like, okay, I'm going to put my news together, and I'm going to try to play Need for Speed before Mike gets home. It's like, I'm trying to hurry up. So I put in the game. Now I got to enter my EA online pass code because, you know, they do their whole Project 10 thing or whatever. Okay,
right,
punch
right.
all that in. Game needs patch. Okay, that's quick. Do that. Logging into the auto log. Okay, finally. Then, the, you know, the EA logo, the Criterion logo, the Need for Speed logo, and they don't let you skip any of this stuff. Then a trailer starts playing for the game. I can't skip this. I'm like, what the fuck? I just bought the game. Let me play it. But then I'm watching this trailer with some cars crashing into each other. I'm like, geez, you think the Need for Speed trailer would have some cops in it? Then I realize it's not a Need for Speed Hot Pursuit trailer. It's a Shift 2 trailer. They put an unskippable trailer for their next game in the front of this game.
Wait, but I mean, not every time you turn it on.
I hope not.
That can't
be. I was hesitant to turn off my 360 to record this because I want to play another race or two before I go to bed. But then, just like Burnout Paradise did this too. When the game starts up, this female voice comes on to slowly explain the very self-explanatory menu system to me, to explain all the features, which I already know, so I had to watch that. Then, like, the thing comes up that thanked me for playing the demo and gave me my bonus points to my account, which, okay, cool, it recognized that. Then I, you know, hit start my career. Then it played the unskippable cutscene explaining the backstory of the city and why there's all this racing going on there.
Is that really necessary?
Which I already watched with the demo that they know I played, that I could not skip. And like I said, too, I mean, this literally took 15 minutes. I want to play my fucking high-speed, intense racing game, and they made me sit there for 15 minutes watching a bunch of crap I didn't care at all about. I was so – I mean, here's the thing. I haven't even played the game yet, and I'm, like, upset. And I know once I play the game, I'll be fine because I played the demo. I know what the game is. It's awesome. But I'm just sitting here. I'm like, you have got to be fucking kidding me. Like, whose idea was this? It's like, all this stuff unskippable. It drove me up the wall. Well, but anyway, I finally got into a race, won it, and – I mean, the game's fantastic. My impressions aren't too different from the demo so far because I only did a race. But one thing that I got a better taste of now is that autolog system where it's constantly comparing you to how your friends are doing. And that stuff is really cool. Like, you know, before you pick a race, it'll tell you, you know, which car your friends got their fastest times with so you can try to compete with them. When you finish the race, it just shows you right away where you compared with your friends, how many of your friends you've beaten. Like, all of that is right at the forefront of the career, and it's really well implemented. It kind of has a similar feel to the way Geometry Wars 2 was when that came out, and everybody was playing it, and there was the leaderboard race going on with that.
Right.
Like, I could easily see that happening with this. I also got an achievement just for having five friends on my friends list who played the game.
Well, that's interesting. I've never heard of an achievement like that before.
Mm-hmm.
All right, anything else?
So let's see. What other quiz questions did I ask you? Oh, yeah, just real quick. I finished Assassin's Creed 2's DLC.
Come on.
I just want to say it was good.
Okay,
that's
good.
All.
Then that's it.
Also worth noting, I got the Mirror's Edge iPad game. It was on sale this week.
Okay.
Really, really good.
And that's all you'll say about it.
I actually might like it better than the console game.
Oh, my God. No way.
Just because there is no combat. It's all just the running and everything, which I always thought was the weakest part of the console game, was the combat. So
I just want to say again that everyone way underrated Mirror's Edge.
I like Mirror's Edge.
I like Mirror's Edge a lot. Not afraid to say it.
Let's see.
I like Mirror's Edge a lot more than Prince of Persia, which came out around the same time.
Hmm. I think that's it. You don't want to talk about your time spent with Rock Band 3 this weekend?
Well, I mean, I played it before. I mean, I don't know. What? I was kind of...
You seem to always bitch about having to play it with us, but then you seem to enjoy yourself while we're playing it.
Really? Because I seem to remember asking if I could stop playing and you guys kept yelling at me. tell
them.
Yeah,
like
to play
in
more.
Between songs, like I don't want to do another one. They were like, no, sing this song. Then you like get really into it.
I'm gonna
if
I'm gonna
ends,
sing
like,
a song, I'm gonna get into it. I'm not gonna like not do it. But it's like I don't know. It's like. Like, I do like playing the keyboard stuff, but, like, when I was playing the guitar for some song, it was just not an endless line of chords, you know, like, dun-dun-dun-dun. I literally felt like I was doing work.
Fair enough.
I am fairly over this whole thing. So, there. I don't know. I played Brotherhood more. It's good. I don't think I have much more to say about that. I think we can move on to the releases.
Okay.
Which I have backed out of. To look at the MPDs. Here we go. Gran Turismo 5 came out on the PS3. Donkey Kong Country Returns for the Wii.
I need to check this out, because apparently it's good, but like people are saying not as good as the SNES version. And I guess what really kills it is I guess the motion controls feel really forced.
Really? Because, wait, I thought everyone was saying it was better than the SNES games.
Well, I mean, you played it, right?
Yeah.
So, because from what I understand, like, The you have the jump button, you have the grab button / sprint button.
The problem is that you have to use waggle to do your attack button, like the roll.
The roll. And like, the thing is, I mean, from what I remember playing the original game, it was like you would often use a roll into a jump to get distance, and
right.
It had to be really precise.
No, that's the problem. That does lose some precision.
I mean, I was actually kind of surprised to learn this game doesn't support the classic controller.
Right. Well, they can't add it with a patch.
Yeah.
But I didn't. I've been really because what I'm reading is a lot of people think it's better than the SNES game. So
no, really?
Right. I don't know.
Well, that's good.
Maybe we're reading different reviews. Splatterhouse for the PS3 and 360.
What people were like really excited about this? I was like, Splatter what?
It had a presence at E3. I didn't really look at it though. Majin and the Forsaken Kingdom for 360 and PS3.
I bet that's amazing.
That's supposed to be decent. Pac-Man Championship Edition DX.
I need to play this. I just haven't had the time to get to it, but everyone says it's freaking amazing.
That Michael Jackson game came out?
Yeah.
Michael Jackson, The Experiment.
The Wii, PSP, and DS ones. The Move and Kinect versions were delayed.
I wonder if it's any good. Football Manager 2011 PC. Raving Rabbids Travel in Time for the Wii. That came out?
They're still making Rabbids games?
Yeah. Does anyone care about these anymore?
I don't know.
That also had, like... I don't know. Well, no. I thought... When I was, like, the biggest line I had to wait for E3 was for Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. And I was right by, you know, I was in Ubisoft's booth. They had, like, a giant television. And I must have saw, like, the trailers for Raving Rabbids Travel in Time at least a billion times. Poker Night at the Inventory, Crazy Taxi on Xbox Arcade, and Dizzy Tangled the Video Game for Wii and DS. Ain't that cute? That's it. Anything else you'd like to say?
Remember when Disney video games used to be amazing?
Well, because Capcom made them for them.
Yeah.
Sure. But hey, well, you're saying that we got Epic Mickey coming soon.
That is... Oh, Tuesday. My collector's edition will be in the mail from Amazon on Tuesday, and I cannot wait. Well, I will probably finish the game that day.
We'll see.
I honestly predict that.
Thank you for listening to the Exploding Barrel podcast, everybody. You can find more of us at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com. Or on twitter.com/explodingbarrel. You can also find us at the iTunes Music Store or the Zune Marketplace. Thanks for listening, everybody. Hope you have a great week. We'll see you next time right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Bye-bye.